Grab your drinks and join us as our coaches go head-to-head to make the best fantasy team possible. Welcome to Draft Days. Hello and welcome to Draft Days, a fantasy draft podcast featuring drinking, pointless arguments, and needlessly confusing homophones. I'm your host, Jeff, and with me today are Corey, Rowan, Matt, and Bainey, our coaches from the new metal band Draft. Say hi, everybody.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everyone.
All right.
Oh, that beer went down weird. We're rolling with it.
Before we get too far into the episode, let's really quickly recap the teams that we drafted last week. In the first position, Rowan with their team Street Slop Sleaze. Ugh, that is hard to say. They drafted Korn, Marilyn Manson, Godsmack, Stained, and Cutlass. My team, Firm Trisket, drafted the Deftones, Mudvayne, System of a Down, Static X, and Incubus. Bainey with his team PTE Twisted Tour drafted Slipknot, Evanescence, Baby Metal, 3 Days Grace, and Flyleaf. Corey, with their team Hollywood Unobtainium, drafted Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit, Sepultura, Creed, and In This Moment. And last but not least, Matt, with his team Napster's Paradise, drafted Disturbed, Rage Against the Machine, Rob Zombie, Shinedown, and the Bloodhound Gang.
You know, I think of all of the drafts, I do think Matt's is the lineup that I would most enjoy as a concert.
Yeah,
if you
were to go see him.
Yeah,
I might be a little bit biased because I literally picked my favorite band on the planet. So I'd go see them.
Weirdly enough, out of everybody's teams, the concert that I'd be the most jazzed about, Corey.
It would be a really fucking eclectic concert.
Yeah. I think that says something for those type of concerts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every single one of these would be fantastic lineups.
Yeah.
Okay. And
for mine, clearly
Bloodhound Gang would be the opening band if mine was real.
Headliner, what are you talking about?
Oh, that's right. Rob Zombie.
Yeah, round five is your headliner for all of us.
No. I would start with Cutlass and then go straight to Marilyn Manson because of course yes. I would.
Yeah.
Before we move on to our scoring segment, I have a couple of hot takes and opinions that I've gathered from the community in a segment I'm calling Hot Takes and Opinions segment to be named later. I'll come up with something more interesting to put there later. But first, from JL Woodhead in the PTE Discord, their opinion is Puddle of Mud didn't deserve the hate they received. I disfucking agree. I don't like them at all. I will say, I did like the song Blurry, but most of the stuff that they did, it didn't really click with me, and I never thought that they were very nu metal. Like, it was that same thing that I was talking about last week, where it was kind of like, these are kind of poppy songs that we've added extra distortion to. So I think a lot of the hate that they got were maybe just because they were like lumped in with other bands where their fans are angry all the time at everything. And then it's like, hey, here's a song about she fucking hates me. And it's cutesy and fun sounding. I hated when The Offspring did that too. Like I love their punk albums. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, we're going to play Obladi Oblada by the Beatles, but we're going to sing about go get a fucking job. It's like, no, play a fucking punk song.
Oh, see, I loved Why Don't You Get a Job. I loved that whole Americana album. It was so much fun for me.
I don't like to yuck other people's yums. So, I mean, if anybody likes these things that I say that I don't like, I'm perfectly okay with that. Specifically, the Americana album, because the whole album isn't bad. I just wish that they had picked better singles. You know what I mean? Like, instead of the funny, goofy ones, because there was funny, goofy ones on all of their albums so far. But they weren't the big singles.
That's part of what makes The Offspring.
Exactly. And so when they got famous for doing that, I was kind of like, ugh, come on. But does anybody agree with that statement that Puddle Mud didn't deserve the hate?
I agree with that statement only because they got so much hate that really nobody deserves.
Yeah.
I never liked Puddle of Mud. I'm like, I'm very much a, if I like the lead singer's voice, we're probably going to be cool. If I don't like the lead singer's voice, we're not going to be cool. Yeah. And it's so subjective.
Yeah.
That said, they got so much hate that, you know, just kind of going back to don't yuck other people's yum. I think they sucked, but it doesn't mean they empirically suck.
Yeah, that's that. And
or it doesn't mean, or at least doesn't mean that they deserve all of the vitriol that they got.
That I appreciate just solely as a point that I don't think anybody deserves that. Like, if you don't like a band, you don't have to listen to them. I mean, I guess these days, at least.
I think they were victims of mainstream radio.
Yeah.
It happens to a lot of bands. Look at Simple Plan. I mean, you say Simple Plan to somebody that doesn't know them and all they think is, I'm just a kid. But they're like, they're heavy. Yeah. I mean, I saw them open for Korn. You see, I think they and Puddle of Mud both kind of got that unfair treatment, and it came at the hands of corporations, you know. Yeah.
There's
mainstream radio, like, oh my God, I feel like I'm about to get political here.
We can probably talk for an hour alone about the assassination of nu metal that took place by corporations
on the radio.
Like, nu metal is so stupid. It's like, sure, yeah, whatever. Give me another Korn album. Shut up. Stop telling me it's bad.
Y'all want a single?
Yeah, exactly.
That was a good response to that.
Great. Which made for a great single, ironically.
Yeah.
All right. Our next hot take, which I am positive is going to get some interesting results, from Jeff G of the PTE podcast. Drowning Pool is severely overrated and a glorified one-hit wonder. And my opinions on this formerly were similar, because for a long time, the only thing I heard of them was Goddamn Bodies, which I have grown to love later. But when that's the only thing you hear from them, because Sinner doesn't get played, which I think is a much better single. I love the song Sinner. I think that would have had a lot of strength as their first single. But the problem was Bodies was overplayed a lot. The video for it is undeniably early 90s or mid 90s cringe. Like, it's like he's screaming at a dude in a chair. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But like, everything was like that back then. It's fun to go back and watch and be like, oh, we were so silly.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they were a glorified one hit wonder, at least. And I know that there's a lot of people that really like their music. I mean, what do you guys think? I know at least one of you has very strong opinions on what I just said.
Ryan, take the stage.
I'm going to say I have always enjoyed Bodies. I liked it when it came out. Oh, yeah. I still like it today. And I do have a kind of a hilarious parenting story about it. Was when my son was about 3, I want to say, me and him driving in the car, he's in the back seat in his little booster seat and everything, and he's quiet, and I'm listening to the radio, and that song comes on, and I forget that I have a child in the car and start singing it, full-chested, screaming, right? Halfway through, I snap back to reality. I looked back, and my 3-year-old son is just like got this horrified look on his face, hands over his eyes, like, what is Daddy doing? Like, just silently freaking out back there. And I'm like, hey, buddy, something you need to know about Dad.
That's great.
For me, I think it just ties back into, well, something I just said when we were talking about Puddle of Mud. As somebody who sings, so much of it is about the lead singer's voice for me. Yeah. And Dave Williams' voice absolutely did it for me. Yeah. Bodies was great, but so was Sinner. Tearaway. Oh, Tearaway. Tearaway is my favorite. But, you know, that's not to say that Drowning Pool after Dave has been bad, but I just haven't been able to get into it in the same way.
They have because the guy from Soil singing for them now, I think.
And again, like, you know, Soil is another band I never got into because I didn't like the sound of their lead singer. So Drowning Pool with the same voice is still just like makes me sad as shit and makes me want Dave back.
Yeah, because it was literally, if I remember the timeline, it was like, I told the story off mic a little bit ago that I got to see Drowning Pool very early in their career opening up at the Ozfest on the second stage. So I used to work at the Tweeter Center, which is a big amphitheater here in Chicago. And I worked at the Tweeter Center, so I was there early in the morning helping park cars, and I got to see them very early in the morning, and they were on at like maybe 9:30, 10, like really early in the morning. And they went out full force, absolutely kicked ass. Like, they were great. And this was before Bodies was way overplayed. And I got to say, I really appreciate the guitarist, his absolute love affair with the goddamn wah pedal. He will not leave that thing fucking alone for a second. But I was really impressed with how much energy they put into a show really early in the morning to a very small crowd. Like, that alone as a musician tells me everything I need to know about the band. Even if I like, let's say that I didn't like their music at all, I'd still respect them because of how hard I saw them work.
Mm-hmm. The problem is, like, bands like that get what I call the Nickelback treatment.
Yeah.
And that is, they might be a decent band, an arguably good band, but they've got like one or two singles that corporate radio decides we're going to shove this down everybody's throat. Yeah. And I'm sorry, but like Rockstar and their other one, This Is How You Remind Me, I do not like those songs, and they were everywhere for so long to the point that everyone hated them.
Yeah.
You get past that, and Animals, Never Again, Feed the Machine are all good Nickelback songs that I would rock out
Animals
to.
Is the worst song that has ever sung.
Hate it? I like it.
That said, the best song that has ever been written about the concept of apathy is Leader of Men by Nickelback.
I was just about to fucking say
one
that.
One of my favorite songs ever.
I totally agree. Those two songs absolutely ruined it. I think that that's the case for Drowning Pool too. I mean,
They're not like the best bands out there, but they're decent. They're solid. They could be part of a lineup and you'd like them if they weren't just everywhere.
I have two quick things to say. One, Matt, is that a Prancing Pony mug that you have?
This is a Prancing Pony mug.
I love it so much. The Prancing Pony. Yes.
And on the bottom, you'll see when I take my next drink is what was my hilariously like DJ name when I'm doing weddings. Uh-oh. Ready?
DJ's second breakfast. I wish this was a video podcast at times so everybody could see that.
That's so good.
And then the second thing is Rowan, Matt, and I all live generally close to each other. I'd say middle, I'd say about a half hour. But Corey lives on the West Coast and Bainey lives on the East Coast. Did you guys hear around the time when Bodies came out, was it as prevalent on the radio in your local radio rock radio stations? I don't even know if you guys had a good rock radio station where you were growing up.
It was huge.
The same thing.
Here we go again. So that song was released in 2001. I, depending on when it was released, was either 3 or 4 years old.
Oh my God. You fucking child. Are you kidding me?
How young are you?
I'm 26 as of this year. So for me, for like a lot of these are me having to go back into a back catalog to listen to a lot of these new metal bands and everything.
You
like
gotta
that.
Go to the library.
The thing was, I lucked out, and what helped with this, in all honesty, was Pandora. Radio. And just like, you're like, oh, this song's pretty good. And it was like a Linkin Park radio or something like that. So like listening to like Hybrid Theory and stuff like that. And then it shows me like, it'll put in Bodies by Drowning Pool. It'll then put in like a lot of Breaking Benjamin. Yeah. So like, that's where I get like
so
the Diary of Jane shit. Yeah. And everything. And then that's how I get all those like different bands and stuff like that. And that's how I like expanded. That's how, and what helped too is because I've been essentially a nerd my whole life. And that leaned into my music taste because I'm still kind of very into Guitar Hero.
Yeah. Oh my God. So like, we're best friends now. I love Guitar Hero so much. That's why me and my wife are married today.
Yes.
Exactly. So like, especially Guitar Hero 3.
Yes.
That was my first ever listening to Disturbed with Stricken. Yeah.
Stricken.
And then Dope was on there.
That was where I was first listening to Slipknot before I forget was on Guitar Hero 3. So like a lot of these like heavier rock and like new metal songs and all these bands and everything. And that's how I got into all these types of music. Cause I would be like, okay, that song was good. Let me listen to that. Let me put that in as a Pandora radio. And then I get more and more expanded. Yeah.
The song on Guitar Hero 3 that none of my friends knew what it was. I knew what it was because it came on this online radio station that I listened to a lot. And then I could not believe it was actually on Guitar Hero 3. And it just made my life. Minus Celsius by the Backyard Babies.
Oh my God. I haven't thought about that in so long.
That song
wasn't the Trogdor song on 3?
That was on two.
Yes! You could unlock it or download it on three or whatever.
They had like a section in Guitar Hero 2 where it was like, if you earn enough points, you can unlock these extra Thunder bonus Horse
and
and you have Trogdor right there. And I was like, oh, what? And that was me young again. I was like, what the? Because I never watched Homestar Runner. So like, I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, like while you were an actual literal baby, I was in college watching Homestar Runner.
Exactly.
Let's bring it back to something we said last episode. Another band that was on Guitar Hero 3 was Dope, their song Nothing For Me Here. Dope's lead singer Edsel Dope is not so secretly Zero from Static X now. Like he's touring wearing Wayne Static's face and hair on stage with the band. Somebody figured it out because there was a picture of his neck and it one of the same tattoo. Like it was like, oh, there's Zero's neck has the same tattoo as Edsel Dope. Anyway, our last hot take. Nick from Capital Trivia in Washington, D.C., a good friend of Corey and mine, says,
I know, Nick.
The best band to graduate out of the new metal era is Incubus. Incorrect. The answer is Linkin Park. Let's move on with the scoring. I'm just kidding. I said earlier in the last episode, I wasn't as happy with Incubus's like last four-ish albums. I like Grenades, Crow Left of the Murder. And I think that they're Morning View and there's one other, I think. But I wasn't super happy with them, me personally, as a fan of nu metal. But it's undeniable that those albums sold well and did well. And Incubus is a different monster now. And I think that they've grown and shown that they, you know, had a place in rock music at that time. I find it hard to disagree with that they were the best band. But I could see that they're one of a few that graduated out of new metal. Can you guys think of any other bands that started maybe in the new metal era that kind of moved away from that? Rowan, I know you said Finger 11, they kind of moved away from new metal.
They moved away from it, and I don't, like, I know some people love how they moved away. Yeah. I don't particularly like how they moved away. It's definitely like the old to mid career Finger 11 that makes them still like up at the top of my pantheon, but their more recent stuff not so much. Whereas, you know, like the other band that I named myself after, Cold, you know, their first album came out in 98 and was like, you know, new as fuck for 98. Yeah. And you know, they made it through there, and it's kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting because like they had, I guess Stupid Girl was their biggest. Yeah. Like it was the catchiest. I mean, Rivers fucking Cuomo.
I was gonna say it was co-written by Rivers Cuomo.
You know, it was catchy as shit, but also like, you know, kind of the same way that like Finger 11 had some of the like lighter ballad stuff go popular. Yeah. Like Bleed by Cold was really big for a while. And I'm like, oh my God, I really hope that's not the direction that Cold ends up going in. Yeah. And fortunately, it wasn't. Like, unlike Finger 11, whose recent stuff, it's just like, that's not what I go back to. Yeah. Cold's recent stuff is just as good to me as so much of their older stuff. Yeah. And, like, it's different. It's not the same. You know, they're not, you know, they're not putting out Go Away in 2023. But they're not, it's still...
I don't remember how old... Because I know Scooter is something... I think he's, like, 50-something. But
he's
not a 30-year-old anymore. You know what I mean?
No, he's not a 30-year-old.
They're writing different music now.
Like, they're writing different music. Yeah. I mean, like, he's, you know, he's older than me. And I'd say about a decade older than me is probably right. And yet, you know, what they're putting out is still not only from, like, a meaning perspective, but also from a sonic perspective. Great. Yeah. Like, you know, the last time I saw them, actually, it was very meaningful to me because the first concert I went to before I changed my name was Cold in 2019. And the first one I went to after it was I saw Cold this year. Yeah. And that concert was a, you know, 20th anniversary year of the Spider. So they played that album in its entirety.
I remember seeing that.
But, you know, but they played a lot of the newer stuff, you know, back in 2019, like 4 years ago. And it was still just like, I want to see Cold again so I can see the newer stuff again. Yeah. Cause the newer stuff is just, I don't care what part of their career that they play. It all speaks to me. Whereas Finger 11, it's like, I want to see them again. Cause they're great live, but I also really hope they play mostly older stuff because their newer stuff just not my thing.
Can anybody else think of any other bands that kind of came out of the new metal? Like everybody else kind of got all dirty and then a few bands got out clean.
I don't know about getting out clean or dirty, but would you consider Papa Roach getting out of it? I feel like they've gotten more.
I would say that they are surprisingly tenacious in as much as like they keep putting out albums and they keep being, in my opinion, at least pretty good. I started off not liking Papa Roach very much because I didn't care for the very first single that got over.
Last Resort.
Yeah, Last Resort overplayed so badly. And then when I first listened to the album, it felt like as I listened to the album, the songs got better and better and better and better. You know what I mean? Like and ever since then, I've given everything that they've written a listen. And I think that I don't know if you would consider them getting out of it just because.
Yeah, I'd say they've more mixed in non-new metal into their sound more than abandoning new metal altogether and moving out of it.
That's fair.
Okay.
I would definitely reiterate because you mentioned it, but nobody really talked about it. But yeah, definitely Linkin Park for sure.
Yeah.
Because heavy new metal beginnings and stuff. But yeah, and I would say they lean more towards the alternative. Yeah, and then if you dig into it, like just rap rock now. Not new metal, but rap rock, especially with Mike Shinoda, who's a great lyricist. Especially with, I'm forgetting the name of his side project.
Fort Minor.
I blanked on that. Look at me go. But it's a shame, but I mean, I totally understand. They haven't put any new music out ever since Chester's passing, which I think recently hit 6 years, if not.
It's so close. Hard to imagine Linkin Park without Chester because you know, as integral as Mike Shinoda is, so's Chester.
Chester
kind of interplay, I feel like, was so integral to Linkin Park.
Yeah.
Yeah. They essentially the lyrics and how Mike and Chester have their own unique sound. They just played off each other so well. Mm-hmm. And so it's a shame, but you're looking at them. It's phenomenal. They definitely evolved from nu metal into something higher.
It's so rare to me too, for a band to like the interplay between multiple vocalists to be that core to how I experience a band. I mean, literally the only other band that I can think of who the interplay between the voices is so core to me as Linkin Park is Case Choice. Mm-hmm. There's not new metal, but that's just the only other band I can think of who has kind of interplay between two lead singers being so crucial to how I experience the band.
For me, I think the biggest case of we gave up new metal to do something else has got to be Sugar Ray. Because Sugar Ray's first two albums are undeniably new metal. They're not
great. Yeah, I mean, Lemonade and Brownies, for sure.
Lemonade and Brownies is 100% a new metal album.
New metal.
Yeah, and then self-titled, it wavered. But here's a really quick turn of events. There's a band named Snot. That's not very well known. Yep. I love Snot very much.
Snot was on my list.
But Lynn Strait, their singer, unfortunately passed away in a car accident after they released one album. They had recorded a second album, but they didn't have any vocals. So they hired a bunch of other nu metal singers to sing those songs with them. The album's called
a freaking all-star team.
It's crazy the people that are on that album. The album's called Straight Up.
What's the name of that album? Spelled like Lynn Strait, obviously. Yep.
And some of the people that appear on there, Jonathan Davis, Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray is on that list.
Serge from System was on there, wasn't he?
Yeah. Lejean from Seven Dust. I want to say Chino was on a song. I could pull up the list right now, but it's literally at the time when that came out, all of those people were like big in the new metal scene and they all kind of knew Lynn Strait from Snot. So they all said, we'll come out and sing a couple songs. And that Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray, the guy who sang about every morning on the halos on the bedposts and some shit, he was on a fucking nu metal Gods album with it is crazy to me that he was just we're going to sing bad music now. I wouldn't consider.
Also, if you've ever watched Rock and Roll Jeopardy, Mark McGrath is really good at music trivia. I want to be on a trivia team with Mark effing McGrath.
I'll close this section off with what I think is the greatest thing that nu metal gave us as a gift. For anybody that doesn't like nu metal, first of all, why do you have to be wrong about things? And second, the most important thing that nu metal gave us as a society is the ability.
Emo music.
Corey, I'm going to get in a fight with you. It's going to be
like Motionless and White. I'm in this moment.
I'm going
like
to stab emo. You with a knife.
I'm the world's oldest emo kid, but I'm also your nu metal dream boy, only older, you know. Right. You can be both of those things, but they don't have to be the same thing.
The point I was trying to make before I started trying to stab Corey was that nu metal gave us the idea that taking two genres that maybe you wouldn't immediately think that they'd fit together, they gave us the idea that give it a try and see what happens. Don't say no to trying something new. Do you think that you could bring some bagpipes out on stage with your heavy metal band? Why the fuck not? Give it a shot. Yeah. Do you think you want to hire two ding-dongs to sit on kegs and hit them with baseball bats? It absolutely seems to have worked previously. Like, give it a shot. Like, so I don't think that we would see some of the sonic experimentation that we've seen in the later years, especially in the regards of like the mishmash of punk rock and kind of like post-hardcore, like what a lot of people refer to as emo these days. A lot of that is bands that grew up listening to these metal bands that experimented with a lot of different sounds. So even if you don't like nu metal, for that, you got to at least say thank you to these bands for doing what they did.
I was just going to say, I think nu metal did some really interesting stuff with Billboard charts, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at somebody like Limp Bizkit, who charted on the, wasn't Nookie up for like best hard rock or some shit? Like
If I remember correctly, two videos by Korn.
Against Metallica.
Two videos by Korn got retired off of TRL. Meaning that they were no longer going to play them.
Leech was on there forever.
Like, that is unheard of. Unheard of that they were like, here's all these like boy bands and like pop icons and stuff. And then Korn just shows up one day and it's like, well, we can't keep playing this video every day. So I guess
I hate watch TRL when I was in high school, except when like Freak on a Leash was on there. And when Freak on a Leash was on there, I lorded that over my siblings like nothing else. I'm just like, look, they finally got some good shit on here. Oh, Jeff, I think you have the right idea. Yep. I got some sound for you.
There we go. I think that just to sum that up, a lot of these nu metal bands really did. They didn't just like cross genres. They just kind of like pulled genres together.
They took rap fans and metal fans and said like, hey, you guys could be friends. And then we were friends and everybody was cool with it.
I was going to say, which ultimately is what DJs do. They take two different types of sounds. They blend it together. You take that to create a whole new genre of music and you've got something special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're all done with opinions and hot takes for tonight. Before we get into our scoring section, let's quickly go over the rules.
Welcome to the Draft Days Combine, where we score our teams and see how they measure up against the other coaches. We assign value to our teams using rules known as metrics. There are 5 rounds of scoring, each using a randomly selected metric. Using the rules set by the metrics, we score our teams and then compare our score with the other coaches. Points are awarded to coaches based on their performance in each metric. The coach who has the most points at the end of the game is today's winner. Let's step into the combine and see which coach comes out on top.
Okay, before we get into the scoring rounds, let's introduce the metrics that we use to draft our teams. I talked about this a little bit in the last episode, but here's the important part. I'm going to talk about 10 metrics, but only 5 of them are going to be randomly picked for us to grade our teams with. So even though we knew all 10 of these going into this draft, only 5 of them are going to be used to pick our teams. And I hope you guys appreciate all of the band songs and albums that I picked to name these. I kind of tried to. Stick with the.
Oh, I noticed that, and that was so.
They're all kind of. They all kind of make sense, but you know, as best I could do. So number one, Not Falling. This one, we're looking for the sum score of three different picks on our team, their highest charting albums on the Billboard Top 200. So what we'll do for this one, I'm not talking about three albums from one band. I'm talking about three different bands, their top charting albums. We're going to add those together. Whoever has the lowest score, because remember, higher on the list is better. So we're golf scoring this one. So like if you have three number ones and your score is three, that's better than a score of five. So Not Falling, okay. Of course, a Mudvayne song on my team because I love them. Number two, Steal This Album, another member of my team. Your score on this one is the total of full-length studio albums across all five of your picks. So a band that is, you know, say maybe a James Patterson-esque band that continues putting out albums every year, better for your team rather than a one or two hit or a one or two album band. Number three, When Worlds Collide, Power Man 5000, not getting drafted, but your score,
which is a bummer, but I like,
this is Rob Zombie's brother, man. Gotta give him some props. You know, give him some props. Number three, When Worlds Collide, your score is the total number of genres listed for all of your bands combined. So on the little info box in Wikipedia, it has a list of genres that these bands played. The one thing that we're taking out of that is nu metal. All of them either do or do not have that, so we're not paying attention to nu metal at all. But every other genre listed that is not nu metal counts. We add those all up together, and that's our score for that one. Number four, Bodies. Your score is the total number of current or most recent band members across all of your picks. So I'm talking about their active lineups, not the total number of members that have ever been in the band. So like if you were to go see them today, how many people would you see on stage? Actually, that's not accurate because we're not counting touring members. We're talking about official members of the band. Number five, People Equals Shit, which is the opposite of number four. We're looking for a lesser number of band members. So for number four, we're going to add up all of the members in our bands, and whoever has the most will get the most points. And number five, whoever has the least, because People Equal Shit, we don't want more shit. Whoever has the least amount for five will get more points. And that is what's called a paired metric. So we will either have four or five or neither. If we pick four, five is off the table. And if we pick five, four is off the table. Number six, points of authority. So for each band on your team, you give them 1 point each. One, if they wear uniforms or makeup, like if they all wear the same thing, if they wear masks or if they wear corpse paint or body paint. You get 1 point if they have a DJ, turntablist, or sampler. And you get 1 point if their band's name is misspelled. So the three things that are kind of associated with nu metal, you get 1 point each, a maximum 3 points for each band. And you add up how many points each of your team scores you. And that's your score. Number seven, Follow the Leader. Your score is the date of the earliest major label debut of a full-length album for any band on your team. So the earliest full-length debut is the one we're looking at there. And eight, the paired metric with seven is Still Sucks. That's, of course, a Limp Bizkit reference. It's the opposite of that. The score for this one is the most late date, the most recent debut album. So new guys versus old guys, basically, for seven and eight. Number nine, the Osmosis category. For each band on your team, if they played the main stage at Ozfest, you give them 2 points. If they played the second stage at Ozfest, you give them 1 point with a maximum of three. It doesn't matter if they played multiple years. As long as they played first stage and second stage, they get 3 points. And then we add all the points across all of our teams, or all of our picks, rather. And number 10, last but not least, Mechanical Animals. Your score on this one is the amount of followers that the band has on Facebook right now. If they don't have an active fan page or an active official page, they have zero. But most of these bands, I've only found three or four that have no active anything on Facebook because either they're really old or they don't care because they aren't a band anymore. And then last but not least, of course, if there is a tie during a during a round, we'll use our normal Scrabble metric for breaking.
We'll give it to the runner.
Tie goes to the runner. There's no real runners in this one. It's always.
I'm pretty quick.
And then if for some reason we have to double break a tie, if we use single bands, we'll use the year that the band was formed, according to Wikipedia. So let's quickly bring up our unofficial sponsors, random.org, one more time. And we will let's see what we got here for our first number 9. Osmosis. So this is the Ozfest score.
Nice.
So our first metric is Ozfest. I'm also happy about that.
So if none of my bands played second stage, does that mean I only get 2 points?
Correct.
Because I don't have a 1-pointer to
add on there. Yeah. So the maximum a band can have is 3 points if they play the second stage and then the main stage, or the main stage, then the second stage. It doesn't matter how many times they played main stage. Doesn't matter how many times they played second stage. Just depends on what I wanted to see with this is movement between the stages. Ideally, a second stage band that got bigger and moved to the main stage, or a main stage band that got smaller and moved to the small stage. So team number 1, Rowan, for Street Slop Sleaze. I haven't said that enough this episode.
Street Slop Sleaze.
What is your score for this one?
All right. I have for Ozfest, I've got 3 2-pointers because Godsmack was only ever on the main. Mm-hmm. Korn was only ever on the main. Mm-hmm. Cutlist was never at Ozfest. Marilyn Manson was only on the main. And surprisingly enough, Stained was never at Ozfest.
I was also surprised to see that. All right, so 6 for Rowan for Street Slop Sleaze. That's you like, predicted from the beginning.
Like one of these points, you're going to say my team name, and I'm just going to like wrap that entire verse.
All right, next up, PTE Twisted Tour.
So for me, it was. Evanescence was at Ozfest in Japan. So there's a main stage right there.
Yeah.
Slipknot, their first ever appearance at Ozfest was on second stage. And then after that, they have been a main stage mainstay. So that's 3 points for Slipknot. 3 Days Grace, never at Ozfest. Flyleaf, the Christian new metal band, definitely not showing up at Ozfest.
Surprising.
Surprisingly not. And then also Baby Metal. Mm-hmm. Ozfest in Japan. So nice. There's another 2 points there. So I got 7.
Nice. All right. I dread to ask Corey.
7.
7 points for you as well. What's the breakdown on that? Sepultura.
I don't know. my first 8, 9.
Okay. So Creed never did.
Yeah.
And everyone else main staged and in this moment second staged.
Oh, yeah. So 3.
Yeah, wait, I think. No, one of either Lincoln or Limp didn't go.
No, in this moment was main stage in 2008 and second in 2007.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So you maxed out within this moment.
Well, that's you have 3 main stages and a 3-pointer.
Oh,
that's 9 points, maybe.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, you have 3. You have 1 point. Main stages and a main plus second. You have 9.
I feel like this is going to be a pattern for the rest of the game. Matt, Napster's Paradise. What do you got?
Napster's Paradise. Officially, I've got 6 points from this.
Okay.
Both Disturbed and Rob Zombie have been on second stage and main stage enough to max out the 3 points each.
Nice. So we'll have a tie.
Yeah. So Rage Against Machine, Shine Down. Stage. What's that?
Oh, yeah. No, never mind. 2005. He was second stage 2005. Never mind.
Oh, was Zombie? Yeah.
Yeah, it was Rob Zombie, yeah.
I saw him that year. It was hilarious because it was like, 100 degrees and the sun was so high and he did like 3 songs and then stopped sweating over one of the speakers. He goes, "Why did I agree to headline the second stage in a fucking parking lot in the middle of goddamn July? Why was this a good idea?" It was absolutely hysterical.
God, I love Rob Zombie.
By the way, my alternate from Bloodhound Gang, which is my joke choice, was Papa Roach.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this lineup sheet on Wikipedia, and they've got Ozfest 2001. They were in main stage two times for their UK and their US tours. I'm going on the assumption that's one. So that would only be the two points. Yeah,
that would be 2 points for that one.
Rule clarification. Yeah. Cool. Just making sure.
All right. My team, the Firm Triscuits. I am both proud and ashamed because this is round one. And if you guys didn't know this, in round one, all of the points that we earn for our teams are cut in half. So, despite the fact that Static X, Mudvayne, and Incubus have both played the main and the side stage, and System of a Down and the Deftones have both headlined, giving me a total of 13 points for this round, I, in my first place, would get 5, but instead I'm taking home 2.5 because the rules of my game are bullshit and I hate them. But anyway.
Yay for Ozfest coming in first.
Hollywood Unobtainium taking home 4 points with 9 Ozfest appearances. PTE Twisted Tour taking home 3 points for 7 Ozfest appearances. And we have to do a Scrabble showdown between Street Slop Sleaze and Napster's Paradise. So your first picks are what we are using because this was a team metric. Your first picks, because this is round one of scoring, we're using round one Scrabble metrics. So that would be Disturbed versus Korn. And I don't even have to know. Actually, K is worth a lot. Let's take a look. Korn is 8 and Disturbed is, where is Disturbed? It's way down here. 13. So I was correct. I
damn you, Scrabble!
But that is okay. Again, this is only the first round. So Napster's Paradise taking home 2 points, which becomes 1. And Street Slop Sleaze normally would only take 1, but you're only taking one half of a point. But again, since it's the first round, everything is, you know, we're just all starting good. Out.
It's not the end of the world. Yeah. This is where I get my
even
half.
Though I absolutely trounced you fuckers in this round, I'm at most 2 points ahead of one of you. It sucks. But anyway, moving on to metric number two, let's head back to random.org and see where we're at. Metric number four is the one, and that is
Bodies.
So we are looking for
bodies hit the floor.
And then it's like that poor guy in the chair. And then the band's in the hallway with the fisheye lens. I love it.
That's where my psycho state comes in, where I can only count to 4.
All right. So for this one, again, metric number four is bodies. We're looking for the most members. So like if you were to go see them today, how many members would you count on stage if everybody was there? Oh, that stinks because Bloodhound Gang is basically like 2 people.
I am instantly regretting this decision.
So because we got number 4, number 5 can't be picked?
That's correct. Yeah. Since we got,
because that'd be funny if it wasn't.
Yeah, that would be funny.
Because I have a lot.
Napster's Paradise, despite Bloodhound Gang, I think they list 3 active members as actual members of their band on Wikipedia, according to my list. What do you have for your team?
I'm ringing it up right now. I'm pretty sure everyone but Bloodhound Gang is a 4-piece band. So that whole people equal shit would have been great for me. But no.
Bloodhound Gang has 5.
Shinedown is 5. You're right.
Bloodhound is 5.
You have Bloodhound as 5?
Yeah, I have Bloodhound as 5 as well.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm looking at the wrong column. That's me being stupid. Shinedown is 4. Disturbed is 4. Bloodhound Gang I have is 5. Rob Zombie is 4. Rage Against the Machine is 4.
Yep. So, Rob Zombie is 4. I thought Rob Zombie was 1 dude.
Well, but Rob Zombie, the band that is Rob Zombie.
Oh, the band. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the yeah, band yeah. That is Rob Zombie. That's cool.
Yeah, he doesn't just sing by himself. But
they have that for both Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie. They are technically both a person and a band. Fair. So,
yeah. And it's one of those things that if their guitarist, for example, leaves, they're going to replace him with one guitarist. Yeah,
exactly.
You know, not have two. Okay. You know,
That is totally fair. I'm happy. I'm happy with Rob Zombie's band being counted for Rob Zombie.
So I am mathing, and that gives you 21, correct?
That's what I'm counting.
Alrighty. So, Corey.
23.
I hate to ask you, bud. 23.
Did I do it wrong?
I am not sure because I don't know how many are in your last pick.
Three, four.
I have 23 for Corey's okay. as well.
All right. So I am going to trust my co-coaches at 23. PTE Twisted Tour, what do you got for your team?
I'm also at 23 because Slipknot's there.
I was there first.
good old fucking Slipknot. Actually, should we, depending on when this comes out, there might only be Clown left in the band. So who knows? Because, I mean, they keep picking people out left and right. It's like, oh,
today is November 18th, 2023. I have seven for Slipknot.
Craig, you're fired. Weinberg, you're fired.
Okay.
So you have 23 as
well.
Good
job, Corey. I got the 4 in Evanescence, 4 Three Days Grave, 5 in Flyleaf. And then Baby Metal, I have the 3 and then 7.
Nice. Yeah. All right, Rowan, what do you got for your team?
I have 5 in Cutlass, 5 in Korn, 4 in Godsmack, 4 in Stain, and 3 in Marilyn Manson, which would be 21.
21.
3 in Marilyn Manson.
Damn it. This more Scrabble. More Scrabble.
3 inside.
Well, it's the extra ribs you had taken out. That's what it is.
I know. Yeah. It's to make more room for people right, inside.
So, let's. So I have 4 and 4 and 4. And 5 and 4. I also have 21. God damn it. This was not
so much.
This is not how this was supposed to happen. This was not how it was supposed to happen. Okay. So PTE Twisted Tour, who was your second pick?
My second pick was Evanescence.
Evanescence. Okay. That is a Scrabble score of 18.
That's
a lot of ease.
I win.
What's your second pick?
Limp Bizkit.
Limp, oh, God damn it.
Oh, you got a Zed. Yeah.
Fuck. Yeah, mine's like 29.
All right. Let me see. I have damn the it. Information here somewhere. I have too much. Yeah, 29. All right, Corey. With 29 Scrabble points and 23 members taking home 5 points. Baney, with less than 29 Scrabble points and 23 members, has taken home 4 points. And now we have a three-way fatal theory. What's the three-way match called in wrestling? What do they call that?
Triple threat.
My God, my brain is so far up my butt right now. We have 3 teams with 21. My second round pick, I don't remember who it was. Mudvayne. It was Mudvayne is who it was. Yeah, so we have Mudvayne versus Marilyn Manson. God damn it, that's a lot of numbers. And Rage Against
versus Rage Against the Machine.
I have 4 words. You don't have a chance, Mudvayne. God
damn it. Damn. All right, so I don't even know how many of those Scrabble points
is. G and Y are worth a lot, but you got a lot of ground to make up.
Where is Mudvayne? There it is. It's 17, and Marilyn Manson is 20. So I don't even know what Rage Against the Machine is, but that's a lot more words than Marilyn Manson. So.
33.
God damn it. All right. So to recap, this absolute bullshit is me coming in last place. We had Hollywood Unobtainium taking home 5 points, PTE Twisted Tour taking home 4 points, both with 23 members in their bands. And then between me, Rowan, and Matt, the Scrabble letters did not fall in my favor. I'm only taking home 1. Rowan's taking home 2, and Matt's taking home 3 points on that one.
I'll take it.
You bastards. But that's okay. Whoever made up the rules of this game is a dummy. This is the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah, that dude sucks.
Bye, Jeff.
All right, let's head back to random.org and take a look at what the next metric is going to be. And the next metric is number 3. When Worlds Collide, the listed genres in their
genre.
The listed genre in their info box. So for this one, if any of them that are fun that stand out to you, feel free to call them out. But all I really need is the total number of genres that you have for your team. We'll start going the other direction again. We'll start with Rowan.
And it's for each one, right?
Yeah, so just the number of genres that are not nu metal listed in their info box.
For each one. Okay.
Add them all together. Tell me the total.
I mean, I will say this. Mm-hmm. I have one artist who has the most genres of any individual artist in this game, which is to say, other than nu metal, Here's why I drafted Cutlass. They have seven genres.
It's a high one.
Including alternative rock, Christian rock, hard rock, contemporary worship music, post-grunge, Christian metal, and alternative metal. This is why Christian bands are a good draft pick.
I only have one on mine that's higher, and that's Tommy Lee as a solo artist, because it includes alt metal, rap metal, alt rock, hip hop, EDM, funk, R&B, hard rock, and post-grunge. He has nine, but who in their good mind would pick him as a pick instead of a regular good band?
Yeah, no, I have a total of 20, which is probably not going to be great, but I was very much like, I need to draft a band that makes me competitive if genres gets picked,
I think,
and Cutlass was an obvious pick. Yeah,
and it totally
makes
up for Korn, because Korn is pretty much a one-trick pony.
Korn has
only have one that's
like
not new metal.
Alternative metal, new metal, and new metal doesn't count.
Even though they did EDM on that one album, they had that one album that they worked with like Skrillex and... who else was there? Was a bunch of like
producers. You know, or in the case of one of my favorite Korn songs, ridiculously bad 80s funk, which is to say, they did a cover of Cameo's "Word Up." It is so stupid, and it is so wonderful.
It's not my favorite Korn song, but I do love that song.
Oh no, like it's not my individual favorite Korn song, but is it something that is near and dear to my heart just because of how stupid it is? Yes, it's great.
I think my favorite Korn cover is "Earache My Eye," because everybody would do something different. Jonathan played drums, Dave wouldn't go play bass, Fieldy sang, and then Head and Monkey, because they only played guitar, would switch sides of the stage. I just thought that was a good time. All right, so 20 for Rowan. Next up, PTE Twisted Tour. How many genres do you have, my friend?
Yeah, so Roan can definitely check my math here, but what I think I have listed here is 23 again.
You son of a bitch. That is, I am also seeing that on my end. 4 plus 4.
Yeah, Evanescence
plus 5
has 6.
Plus 6.
Slipknot with 4. Yeah. 3 Days Grace with 4. Flyleaf with 5. And then I have Baby Metal at 4.
Okay, so 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. Yeah, no, that's what I have. I'm just bad at math.
No, I wasn't sure if you had them listed, for each band, how many they had. I wasn't sure.
I do have listed for each band that they have, and those are what I have listed for each band.
Okay, cool. Awesome. Yeah, so I'm at 23.
All right. Corey, how many do you have?
What?
Fucking Jesus.
So I would like to throw out my challenge flag.
Yeah, what's your challenge flag on this one?
So you know how we were also allowing new metal bands that weren't in the list of new metal but had it in their bio, their info? Does that apply on here as well?
No. It basically, just new metal is not an option. It's everything.
No. So what I mean is, if you look at Limp Bizkit, the only thing in their bio is rap rock and rap metal.
That's correct.
But they're also on Wikipedia's list of hip hop musicians, list of hip hop groups, list of rap rock. Like, I mean, they're in some lists that aren't in their info.
As much as I would love to allow that absolute bullshit, it would require far, far too much checking.
Look, if other people didn't do their homework, that's on them.
Wow.
Fine, I'll take 22. But I want an asterisk.
Asterisk it is. 22 asterisk.
You said
settle down, Barry Bonds.
And Napster's Paradise. What do you got for your team?
I also have 22.
You motherfuckers in your ties. Stop it.
I know, right?
Oh, no.
Shout outs. I got to say, the only one with this particular genre of comedy rock is Bloodhound Gang.
Bloodhound Gang and I think Psycho Sick are the only two on this list that have comedy rock under their thing.
Which is fucking hilarious to me. I saw that. I'm like, that's a genre. Okay.
I got to double. Let me double check Psycho Sick, but I saw in their description, they also have humorcore, as I think what they call it. But
humorcore?
I wish.
Only two of my bands have nu metal in their info box.
That's hilarious.
Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park.
a lot of these bands don't have new metal on them right now, but my biggest winner is Rob Zombie with 7. Yeah. Industrial metal, heavy metal, hard rock, shock rock, groove metal, alternative, and new metal.
Yeah.
Well, he's also going to win that tiebreaker for you.
Two of those count because one of them's new metal.
Yes. but still, coming down to Scrabble, we have Sepultura versus Rob Zombie.
Yeah, and he beat me by like 15.
Yeah, it's a good chunk. Sepultura is a lot of very regular letters, and Rob Zombie has a Z. So that's pretty much all you need on that one. So that's 24.
Yeah. It was a firm biscuits score.
Let's not bring up my team for the moment. Let's focus on other teams.
Oh, no, you certainly didn't come in last, because even though I have the band with the individually most genres,
I came from behind to win the game, it would be more fun. I said that literally last week too.
And how'd that go for you, Jeff?
It went really well. It was a fun episode to record. That was what it was. So PTE.
What time does Costco close?
Costco closes way too early for as good as their pizza is. PTE Twisted Tour, you're taking home 5 points. Oh. Napster's Paradise with a Scrabble win, you're taking home 4 over Hollywood Odomtaniums, 3, both of you with 22 genres. Rowan, you earn 2 points for 20. And Firm Twisket. I can't even say my team name.
Firm Twisket.
We unfortunately only have 16 genres between us, which is unfortunate. Oh, I figured Deftones should have more. Shoegaze should be on Deftones. It's not. Incubus.
Yeah, Shoegaze is
Incubus
a good show,
should have more on theirs too. But a lot of Static X, as much as I love them, they're a one trick pony. They're pretty much industrial metal. You know, there's two.
Did somebody say there. Pony?
Oh boy, there they go.
I was gonna say it would be for Rowan's teams. I had ideas for Foal Chamber and the white ponies. Yeah, I thought both of those were good, but
Foal Chamber.
But then System of a Down, I think, was my most. System of a Down and Incubus both had 4. It's just. Yeah. Everybody that I picked is really good at one thing, and they didn't mush too much. So, but you know, I like my team. So,
dude, now I want to start a band and call them Foal Chamber.
I honestly, though, if I get the Hot Dookie Award 2 weeks in a row or two drafts in a row, I'm just gonna die. I'm just gonna be like, I am now the host that I don't play the game anymore. That way, I can't lose. Before we get into Metric 4, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsors.
Hi, I'm Jay, host of the new podcast, Verboten.
I'm Brittany, one half of the team behind Frenemy Trivia.
And I'm Jeremy, the newest member of the Pub Trivia Experience podcast.
And we're coming together today to tell you that this show is sponsored by
Critical Grind Board Game Cafe.
Critical Grind holds a special place in all three of our hearts.
It's a wonderful place to get together with old friends or make some new ones.
Whether you're after one of their mini fantastic coffee drinks or one of their signature toasts, Critical Grind's got you covered.
With an enormous library of tabletop games available, it's a fantastic place to unwind and celebrate your inner nerd.
Critical Grind is a recognized gaming safe space, which means you can truly be yourself there.
Critical Grind was recently voted Best in Family Recreation for 2023 in its area.
And with their new expansion, there's even more fun to come in the future.
So check them out near the intersection of Black Road and Route 59 in Shorewood, Illinois.
Or if you're not local, find out more about them anyway at linktree.com/criticalgrind.
Either way, tell Dana and Sean we say hi.
Critical Grind Board Game Cafe. Life is short. Play more games.
Proud supporters of the PTE Network.
And vice versa.
All right, we have 2 metrics left to close out our game. Let's turn to random.org one more time and see what we get. And
big bucks, no whammies.
Our next metric is number 2, Steal This Album. So we're looking for the total number of albums by these bands.
I think I'm doing good here, too.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good one for me.
What are you talking about, Corey? This is a great one for you. You have Sepultura, you asshole.
That doesn't count.
Yeah, the oldest band on
15
here.
15 albums.
What the fuck do you mean it doesn't count?
15 albums. Like, okay. The rest of your bands might not be quite as good, but you have fucking Sepultura.
That's like a, oh, man.
All right. Don't ask me. I am still doing the math.
All right, Corey. Let's hear your 40. Fucking bullshit list. 40, you fucker.
Fuck off.
God damn it. I'm so excited for
saliva. I wanted it to be higher.
All right.
You remember Saliva?
Yeah, I remember.
Click, click, boom.
Ugh. Yep. All right, Bainey, what do you got for metric number 4?
If my math on, and if I read all their Wikipedias right, I think I got 27.
27. I think I have all of yours on here. 4 plus 5 plus 4.
Slipknot in 3 days. 3 Days Grace has 7 studio albums.
Yeah, 27. Yeah. Well, they're one of those bands that they just started making albums and then never stopped making albums. Yeah. 26.
So I've got 31 for my group. Is that what other people got up?
Yeah, I have 31 for you as well.
Just making sure.
All right, Rowan, what do you got?
Oh, I got 14 for Korn, 11 for Marilyn Manson,
fuck,
9 for
Cutlass,
9 for Godsmack, 8 fuck for Stained. Me. I have 50.
Fuck.
See?
Fucking hell.
And that's a lot.
You.
The comeback has begun. Yes.
I thought I was doing well with 27, and then here we go.
I have fucking 50.
Just pointing it out right now that I'm tracking Papa Roach because that was my, like, you know, alternative. Compared to Bloodhound Gang. Bloodhound Gang has 5 albums. Papa Roach has 11, which would have made it my number 1 of the slam. What the hell was I thinking? Oh, wait, comedy.
What cracks me up is, Benny, your most of any individual band is 3 Days Grace and Slipknot with 7. My least is Stained with 8.
Get fucked.
Wow.
Like, number of albums, I am killing it.
Oh, man.
All right. Well, Firm Trisket, actually representing fairly well, all things considered. It's the most points I've earned all game with 3 because of my own stupid rules. But I had 34 albums across my bands.
Nice.
All done.
So our winner for that round was Rowan with 50 albums, taking home 5 points for their team.
Fucking 50. Get fucked.
Hollywood Unobtainium's taking home 4 points. Firm Trisket, 3 points. I'm doing okay. Napster's Paradise taking home 2, and PTE Twisted Tour taking home 1 on that one. And we have reached our final metric, guys. Just like the first round is worth half points, this one you get a 50% bonus. Going the other way, you get booped up 50%. So if you take the first slot in this one instead of 5 points, you'll get 7.5. So it's still a max score of 25, but this is the fun come from behind, like your quarterback's throwing a Hail Mary in your short on yards touchdown scenario. And our last one is number 1, not falling. It was not number 5 because we can't have that one. So it is the next up, and that is number 1. So that is 3 of your bands from your team. You have to pick their highest charting album, add those together, and the lowest score wins. If for some reason they don't have a charting album, it's 201, but I don't think that is the case for anybody. So I forget which direction we're headed this way. Rowan, would you like to kick us off with yours?
Well, Korn, Marilyn Manson, Godsmack, and Stained have all had number 1 albums, so I have 3.
Shut it. Shut your butt. PTE Twisted Tour, what are you working with?
I need to do my math here. I'm looking at
I just saw my score.
Baney, it's easy. You got Slipknot and Evanescence have had number 1s. 3 Days Grace have had a number 3, so you're at 5.
Okay. Yeah. Then I'm at 5. Yeah.
All right. 5 it is.
Sure, I trust you.
I'm gonna need a lot of help.
I'll trust you.
All right, Corey, what are you working with
here? I have 3.
God damn it, Corey.
Yeah, you have Linkin Park, Limp Bizkit, and Creed. I looked as soon as the teams were done, and I'm like, fuck, there's another team that has 3.
I told you Creed would come in clutch. I fucking knew it.
Creed is coming in clutch.
if it weren't for them, I think both Sepultura and In This Moment would have been, I guess I had an 8.
In This Moment was 8, Sepultura was 27.
Did Rage have a number 1? Yeah. Okay, so that's 2.
For you, Rage had a number 1, Disturbed had a number 1, Shinedown had a number 4.
Oh, so 6. Okay. I wasn't even thinking it's Shinedown.
Because Rob Zombie, number 5, Bloodhound Gang, 14.
So, Rowan, I'm going to 100% trust you on all of my rankings for this round, but I'm just curious. Compare Bloodhound Gang to, say, Papa Roach, my alternative for the week.
Let me see. Papa Roach has... Papa Roach, 2.
2. Ooh. So I went from a number 14 to a number 2. Why did I... For comedy, that's my idea.
Number 2 album.
This was a terrible decision.
All right, guys. I, thankfully, got a 3 on this one. Not a 3 total. I got 3 points on this because I got 4 for my score.
Yeah, you have 1, 1, 2. Incubus and System of a Down at number 1s. Yeah. Mudvayne and Deftones both had 2s.
Yeah,
twos.
I'm going to go with the Deftones because they're my favorite band. So we're going System of a Down and Incubus plus the Deftones equals 4. But we have both Street Slop Sleaze and Hollywood Unobtainium duking it out with a Scrabble score. And your 5th round picks, Cutlass, got an 11. And In This Moment got 19. So Hollywood Unobtainium is... eking you out on that one for 5 points, which comes out
7.5.
Yep, 7.5 on that one. Street Slop Sleaze with 5 points. You're taking home 6 on this. I, with my 3 points, I'm taking home 4.5 because I could math quickly in my head. PTE Twisted Tour, you're taking home 3 points on this one. And Napster's Paradise, 1.5. Guys, we're done. We did it. We have all 5. You'll never guess. You'll never guess what happened. I'm so excited. I didn't lose. I didn't lose, you guys. Yay! Hooray!
Is it me?
It's okay, though, because I almost lost. But now that we're all done, let's recap our scores. With a final score of 11.5, taking home tonight's Hot Dookie Trophy, Matt Moran and Napster's Paradise. Congratulations, bud.
Booyah!
If you believe in yourself, anything is possible.
Our lives living in a Napster's Paradise.
Yeah.
And squeaking out a non-Hot Dookie victory with 12 points, Firm Trisket.
That's you, Jeff.
That's me. In 5th place, which is not 5th place. I'm excited about that. Next up with 14.5 points, ending the game in 3rd place is PTE Twisted Tour and Baney. Congratulations, Baney.
Hi, Baney.
Thank you. This is so unfortunately sad to see because it came down to the final round, I think. Yeah, it looks... Oh, actually, no. Oh, man. Rowan, I hate to say this. He eked you out. Each way that we go.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, given that I was like lagging the first 3 rounds and needed kind of the late comeback, but I'm not surprised.
15.5.
Say it, Jeff.
What? No, no. Just give me a second, Corey. I have to process this information. Rowan, with 15.5 points, the Street Slop Sleaze team is coming in 2nd tonight. Congratulations. And in 1st place with a score of who fucking cares with his bullshit team.
I do.
21.5 points. One of the highest points we've had so far on the show.
Oh, Mr. M's going to sort it on Facebook followers.
Hollywood Unobtainium.
I'll take it.
All right. Before we head out tonight, Corey, do you have anything you want to say to the people? What do you want to talk about?
I thought we were starting with Matt.
No. Oh, yeah, we're going backwards. I'm going to start that over again. All right, before we head out, let's talk to our Hot Dookie Trophy. Shut up, you guys. I'm also beers. I'm also drinking.
I'm also beers.
We're all beers. You know how many beers we are? We are these beers.
Matt, do you have anything that you want to promote?
Hey, you know what? For a first time coming on this show, not understanding a single rule, I am happy to take this Hot Dookie Award, knowing that Bloodhound Gang is what torpedoed me, but I went from the heart or below that with my bad touch. And I stand by that decision.
So put our hands down your pants and we bet you'll feel nuts.
Yes, you're Siskel. Yes, you're Ebert. And you're getting two thumbs up. And on that note, I don't have a podcast of my own to promote, but I will promote one of my best friends in the world, Mr. Benjamin Stover, a clinical therapist who does a podcast called Popcorn Psychology, where three professional therapists analyze and critique popular movies.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
I recommend you all go watch that.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time. All right, yeah. Bainey, we talked about it a little bit in the first episode, but is there anything you'd like to promote?
Yeah, of course. You can find me live on Twitch. That's at twitch.tv/BaineyBoy. It's BaneyBoii. I have a somewhat regular schedule, but with the holidays coming up, who knows? And we'll go from there. I also have a podcast with my fiance, who will be my soon-to-be wife. Depends on when this comes out, called Learn the Ropes, where I teach her everything about pro wrestling. So if you're a new fan, if you're an old fan that wants to relearn some things, or you just want to stay for the laughs, you can find us on any podcast platform and listen to us talk about the squared circle.
That was so well done that I don't want to tell you that this won't come out until the new year. So
you don't have to. So here's the thing. It's the new year. We have new episodes hopefully coming out soon where we cover the Monday Night Wars. And then after that, we'll get into the Ruthless Aggression, the PG era, and then the birth of All Elite Wrestling. So I'm very excited.
Well, thanks for coming on, man. All right, Rowan, yeah. Is there anything that you'd like to promote?
Well, I don't have anything in particular, but I suggested at the beginning of it that there would inevitably be some point where I would try to sing the verse where my team name, Street Slop Sleaze, came from. That hasn't happened yet, so now we are at, can Rowan sing a Dead Man Holiday verse 3 beers in?
Ready?
Let's see if they can or not. Open up all your sacks, fill them with their souls and all that. Daily terror taken seas, sane affliction on street slop sleaze. Blindfold all the eyes, put your homes in disguise. Guard your goods with American security, but dodge these bullets when you're in the city.
Yay!
So apparently, yes. That song is 20 years old and it is so burned in my brain that after 3 beers, I can still sing that shit. Yes!
Nice.
What if it's hard noises? Fuck yeah. Hi, I'm Rowan Ward, and I'm a dumbass.
Hi, Rowan.
Hi.
And last but not least, Corey, is there anything you'd like to promote before we get out of here tonight?
Yeah, I just really want to promote coming in first. I think if it's something that you can do, you should. It feels great.
Son of a bitch.
I'm very happy to have done it. It means a lot to me. I put a lot of effort into this. I didn't really like study or anything, but I didn't put any effort in at all, and you should all be disappointed, honestly.
Hey, Corey, you're number one in our book.
I do want to shout out my company, Third Degree Entertainment, in Eastern Washington, Northern Idaho.
What?
We've got trivia. What's that, bud?
What?
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 Huh?
What?
Right. We've got trivia 9 nights a week. We do karaoke. We do weddings. Honestly, if you ask me to entertain you, I'd say yes. So
I'm fucking crying over here. Jesus. That is the end of this week's episode. You can find us on social media at Draft Days, spelled the dumb way. Thank you to all of my guests for joining me tonight. And thank you to all of you for listening. And we will see you next week with a brand new draft. Until then, I've been Jeff.
I've been Corey.
I've been Rowan.
I've been Matt.
I'm still Bainey.
And this has been Draft Days.
Costco closes at 7. I Googled it.